Hello everybody, and welcome to episode 5 of the Inside Egosoft podcast. Happy to be back and talking to you. It's been a while since the last episode. We've all been pretty busy in the last month. My colleagues mainly working on the upcoming 4.10 update for X4 Foundations and what will come after that. And myself working on sales and Gamescom and with some new content creators who have started picking up X4. You might have seen that already on Twitch and on YouTube. Now, I could have postponed this episode until 4.10 was finally out for good, but I wanted to not keep you waiting any longer. So I decided to make a more general episode where we're going to talk less about specific upcoming things, but rather take a closer look into something more general in the development of X4 Foundations and its expansions. Before we jump into that topic, though, let me quickly share a couple of news that you may or may not have seen already. I'm recording this episode on September 1st, 2021, and the team is quite literally putting the last touches on the public beta 7 of the upcoming 4.10 update for X4 Foundations. Chances are that this new beta version is already available when you listen to this episode. If it's not yet available, it will be very shortly. Now that means, of course, also that we're getting very close to the final release of 4.10. So beta 7 focuses on some more improvements and fixes as we approach the end of the road that will lead to the 4.10 update. Oh, and if you haven't checked the beta in a while, you might have missed that we've added the new custom game start feature already at the end of July. You should definitely check that out. A couple of weeks ago, we already announced that we've changed our plans a bit regarding the multiverse team seasons. We've come to the conclusion that we need a little more time to make multiverse team seasons into the captivating new feature that we originally envisioned it to be. So in order not to delay the release of the 4.10 update any further, we decided to postpone the introduction of multiverse team seasons. So that means it will not be part of the 4.10 update as previously announced, but will instead be introduced in a later update of X4 Foundations. If you're asking yourself, multi-what? Feel free to revisit episode 1 of the Inside Egosoft podcast, where I talked about the new mode with Egosoft founder and managing director Bernd Lehan. Okay, that should be it for the news update. As the central part for this episode, I again invited a colleague for a chat about the things they've been working on, and as mentioned earlier, a little general look behind the scenes. So this time I'm talking to Leonard, who's part of our missions team and who gives us an insight into his work. Hi Leonard, welcome, and thank you for joining me for episode 5 of the Inside Egosoft podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me.
By now we know your name, I already spoiled that, but could you please introduce yourself to our listeners? Who are you and what do you do at Egosoft?
Yeah, as you said, I'm Leonard. Some may also know me as Gimbutz on the forums or on Discord or on Reddit. I'm a member of Egosoft's mission team, and I mostly work on plot missions these days. That means sifting through lots of ideas, designing, scripting, writing dialogue and briefings. I also sometimes dabble a bit in cutscenes, and I pick out the most fitting music that Alexei made and all that stuff.
That's a lot of different stuff.
It is.
Now, if I remember correctly, you joined a couple of months before I did. So that must have been somewhere in the middle of 2019. April. Okay. Could you tell me and our listeners a bit about that process? Like, how did you end up at Egosoft in 2019?
Yeah, like my career was as straightforward as they get, basically. So I studied history. I wrote my master's thesis about Cuba. And then I applied right after getting my degree and got the job. Maybe there's a bit more to it than that. When I was at university, I found that academia was great and all, great fun. But most of what I did in my free time had to do with stories and games. Mm-hmm. I still play pen and paper role-playing games a lot, back then mostly as a GM. And I like to dig through rule books, like for pen and paper and for board games and learn games that I probably never had the opportunity to play. Mm-hmm. Also played a lot of video games too, unsurprisingly. And I had lots of fantasy and science fiction books laying around. So I thought maybe working in an area that has something to do with history and or games would be really neat. Maybe something with authentic history, a little bit of dramatic irony there. We both know that didn't happen. So I started spinning my studies a bit in that direction, basically. So I did seminars with a focus on how history was and is told, extra credit courses on storytelling, things like that. Still, what I did in university was mostly history. So I thought that my chances were pretty slim and that I had to send out a lot of applications in both directions. But fairly early on, my sister, big shout out, found that Egosoft job listing on something like page 3 of the career website. And I thought, yeah, I love sci-fi. Why not? And since I knew how things went wrong in history, surely I could write stories about how things were going to go wrong in the future. Yeah, so I'm German, so I obviously had gotten X 1, 2, and 3 from the Computer Bild Spiele. So I knew what it was about, and I ended up applying it. You know how things work with Bernd. We wrote a few mails, had a Skype meeting. So Roger, the mission team lead, was there, and Peter, our producer. Then they invited me to the annual big meeting in the office that was just around the corner, and it just worked out.
Okay, you said so April 2019 is when you joined. That pretty much means you still were involved in quite a lot of work on Split Vendetta, right?
I was involved. The decision to create a DLC about the Split that was already made, of course, but there was still a lot I could do.
Well, you didn't work on any video games previously, right? Before joining Egosoft?
No.
So could you put us into your position, basically, April 2019, you joined the company. What is it that you actually start doing?
What comes to mind first is the deep end. So I joined in April together with Heinrich, who was also on the mission team. We had a month or two to learn the ropes. We started by writing alternative text for a few missions, save stuff. And then at some point we even created our own little missions. I scripted that one where you pick up a guy and show them how to find and mine resources. Maybe you know that. There was supposed to be a lot more things you could show this NPC other than mining, but more important tasks came up. Namely, there was the decision to give X4 a diplomacy feature. And it was our job to then come up with ideas for sensible functioning diplomatic changes between NPC factions that would be fun for a mid to late game player and that they could pay for. And that would hopefully not break the game. That's why they had to be tested a lot. And it was also our job, of course, to write introductions that would lead up to these diplomatic changes, which meant X4 would finally get big plots. And as I said, I've been working on plots since then. Heinrich wrote something about the Split. I came up with something about the Paranid. Just found them fascinating at the time. I mean, there were two factions with two leaders, but all they ever talk about is how holy the number 3 is. So the solution was pretty obvious. we just had to get the story characters there somehow and realize the solution, three pontifexes. And I have in one form or another always worked on plots since then. Sometimes I get a week or two to get in a few generic mission improvements, but there's always a plot deadline looming in the distance, basically.
So with this start in Split Vendetta, then that gets released and the next project is on the horizon, basically, which was Cradle of Humanity, which was then the first X product that you were a part of from its very beginning, very much like myself. From your specific perspective, how does a project like that start for you? Is it general story direction meetings with the whole mission team and Bernd, or do you guys write your separate proposals and then they are looked at by everybody together? Or how can I imagine this? Because for our listeners who might think that everybody of us is always sitting in massive meetings and everybody's involved in everything, that's not the case.
Of course, the hive mind.
Right.
So it differs a lot between projects. For Cradle of Humanity, the first thing we had to nail down was the faction setup, of course. Mm-hmm. Bernd was involved in that a lot. Knew there would be Terrans, but how? We had a few Expanse fans in the discussions, and that in part led to the split between the Terran Protectorate and the Sigaris Pioneers, who have this kind of Velta vibe. But the coolest thing I think that came out of it were the Yaki in the end. I think Heinrich and me separately came up with this idea that there could be a faction that had somehow adapted to the Xenon, but without having full control over them, of course, because that's a big no-no. They're uncontrollable and that you can't understand them. Bernd, I think, mentioned on a different occasion that he'd like to get the Yaki back. That's an anarchist pirate faction from X3. And then the usual story designer magic happened. So you got multiple seemingly independent puzzle pieces, and suddenly your mind gets really creative to find a way to combine them all into one concept. And that's what we did in further discussions. And also when it came to the actual plots, so everyone wrote down their little ideas as pitches, as concise as possible. We call them puzzle pieces. And then we come up with stories that would cover these puzzle pieces, the ones that we liked most that we discussed. And of course, that's just a very small part of creating a plot, designing it in detail, scripting the missions, writing the voice lines, that's the brunt of the work.
Like there's so many different angles to the whole process, right? That people don't necessarily are aware of when they play the game, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of thought goes into that, and the process starts really, really early. It's true that anyone can write a story. We believe the same thing. If you just take enough time, get enough different perspectives from other people, you can come up with something cool. Yeah, but as I said, that's when the whole process starts, basically.
Mm-hmm. When it is you that comes up with a mission idea or like some kind of creative story approach, is there something like a typical creative process of yours in the work that you do?
Yeah, typical creative process.
Like, let's say I get the best story ideas when I'm mowing the lawn at home.
I was about to say, yeah, for me, like it's the best ideas appear when my mind has nothing else to do, like when I'm in the shower or when I'm trying to sleep. God damn it. I usually write stuff down for this next puzzle piece discussion, yeah. So that it's off my mind, because otherwise I'll just keep thinking through it over and over and over again. There's a more methodical way to do this that I use when I start working on a story properly. Certain things in the lore or in the design of X4 or things in certain established factions just create themes for stories basically all by themselves. Mm-hmm. There's sometimes unanswered questions in the lore. There's sometimes, I've already mentioned this three pontifices thing for the Paranet, right?
Right,
it's like two and three, yeah, like there's a theme there. There's something we can dive into. Another example, the player is in X4 encouraged to make the most of the economy, like to become rich and powerful at a disregard of everything else. And the economy only properly functions if there's constant war going on and ships keep getting destroyed. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that paints a pretty grim picture for the life in that universe. But it's also an opportunity to create a character or a story that embodies this entire notion of manipulating the economy and politics to become rich and powerful. And yeah, we can and we have created stories where this is taken to an extreme, though Owen probably hadn't intended Dalbuster to be this megalomaniac mastermind we turned him into. Sorry. Another example is the Terran Protectorate from Cradle of Humanity. It has a very troubled history. And it also basically creates this jingoistic theme of we are doing the right thing. We are saving the universe. We are saving others from themselves. We're making difficult decisions. And sometimes people just suffer. That's the natural way of things. Mm-hmm. And this ideology also... I had the pleasure of turning that into a plot and into a character who has a little arc where he deals with these ideals.
You already mentioned the different things that are involved in this whole process. I was wondering, the story and mission team at Egosoft is, I'm going to say big, but it's not
huge.
Really big, but more more in terms of percentage out of the whole of Egosoft. It's
five.
It's
that is
bigger than other.
An entire hand, five fingers.
Let's put it this way. It's bigger than the marketing department. No, I was wondering, how do you guys split these things up? Like, are there some of you that exclusively do the writing, or one does the scripting, or is it all like, are you all multi-talented people who do everything of the process basically?
First of all, I was wrong, by the way, it's six. Sorry. sorry, Ketra. We kind of do split things up and we kind of don't. We all have our favorites, of course. Mm-hmm. Heinrich, for example, who has started with, loves his world building and writing new lore. And Adrian and I are more, we like writing characters and dialogue mostly, but we all have to do everything. In Split Vendetta and Cradle of Humanity, each still had their own plot that they created from start to finish, scripting, writing and all that, with others sometimes jumping in to help out. Mm-hmm. But in the current project, we've discussed the general concept together and then split the plots up into chapters. And then we distributed them a bit between writers. That way, everyone knows a bit about each plot, which also helps with fixing bugs down the line. And everyone can offer a unique perspective to it, maybe spot problems before they happen. One more general thing we tend to do is start by scripting the bare minimum of a plot, like just the outline. Fly here, listen to this temporary dialogue that literally says, hi, listen to my temporary dialogue. Then fly to another location, destroy a placeholder ship, and you're done. That way, everyone has a chance to test it early, to spot things like pacing issues. And then bit by bit, we fill in the details until it's finished.
Mm-hmm. Looking back at the development of Cradle of Humanity, what would you, or is there something where you would say this element of Cradle of Humanity or working on Cradle of Humanity was the most fun, or the one that you're most proud of when looking back at it now?
Fun and proud, that's two questions. Nice. like what I'm most proud of now is the Terran Cadet start and what comes afterwards. So like mm-hmm. back then, I just wanted to remind players of a few basic features in this intro, maybe give returning players a hand or newcomers that had just finished the tutorials. I wanted it to subtly teach without feeling like a tutorial. I wanted the player to get a good sense of their place in the universe, like what faction they belong to, quote unquote, because it's always, the player is always their own faction, but they start somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. Who they belong to, what the goals of these factions are, so that they have a direction at the start of the game. And now I'm so happy that it's being recommended to new players as the start they want to pick for good onboarding,
right?
Which was like, it wasn't my intention in the beginning, yeah, but yeah. It's also given me a goal for the future, which I won't spoil yet.
Thanks.
As for fun, I've scripted a few things that involve huge fleets in the Soulborn Militia and Yaku investigation plot. Mm-hmm. Sorry, players with older computers. The player may not know this at the time, but they can't really lose ever. Like the plot continues either way and the dialogue changes a bit depending on what happens. It's called a failing forward, as the pen and paper folks might say. And adding these nuances is great fun. There's a few other scenes further down the line where there's no correct way to do things, just options that result in more or less emotional damage. And at the end of the plot, the player basically gets the power to send huge NPC fleets themselves. And I say, here's your mission objective. Here are a few toys. Have fun. That was a really nice to have feature towards the end of development. And I'm happy I got it in.
Now, on the contrary, like what were maybe especially hard things to get done, or anything that kept you awake at night?
Same thing I already mentioned a little bit. It's getting the balance right when it comes to mysteries. Mm-hmm. There's a few spoilers coming up. So there's two scenes that come to mind. The first is when you lose your wingmate at the end of the Soulborn Militia plot. What really happens is that a Yaki hacks your communications and repeats the last message, which is like, I'm right behind you or something like that, over and over again, while he abducts your wingmate. It's meant to feel a bit creepy, mm-hmm. And also kind of confusing at first. But once you learn that your wingmate is gone, it should sort of click, like with the information you already have. And depending on who I talked to, they always either told me, yeah, duh, like obvious, like super easy solution, or this makes no sense whatsoever. The voice lines are bugged. They kept repeating and then this guy disappeared. This story is shit. To make sure that the player got it by the end of the plot, I did what I'd never do in my pen and paper sessions, or at least what I've never done before. Maybe this is a lesson for the future too. I just told them straight out what happened, because these characters, they're kind of important to the plot. So it was crucial for the player's closure at the end to have this clarity about what happened exactly. There's another similar scene where I did not do that, for better or worse, because it's all about minor characters and the story kind of continues either way. You're talking to a person in an office, and then you go into a bar to gather some clues from patrons. And there's a lot of miscommunication going on between them on purpose. It's worse if the player plays along and suddenly they think that you're one of them and they just start blurting things out. And that was confusing for some players because they rightfully expected the game to be straightforward, to say, you ask for the info, here's the info, you got 3 out of 3 info, congratulations, here's your answer. But instead, they got all of these complicated, confused emotional messages. Like one guy basically said, sorry, I messed up, I endangered the whole operation, please don't tell anyone. And these kind of things led the player to immediately identify a particular person as the prime target, as suspicious. And that wasn't wrong, like it was one of the options, but it wasn't the whole picture that they could have gotten by talking to everyone, by paying mind to the order they asked questions in. And that was all kind of on purpose, by design, that the player had the option to come to the maybe not wrong conclusion, but the suboptimal conclusion. And that was a huge gamble for me, because so much of it depended on how the voice actors delivered the lines in the end, to show that the characters were sometimes completely blindsided by the player or fooled without the player even having intended to fool them. There's a lot of nuance going on there. And I also had to finalize these voice lines to get them ready for a deadline before I even had time to script the scene in the bar. So all in all, I'm very happy with how it turned out.
Okay, that's good. Is this something that, like scenes like that, where things might be, I don't want to say misleading, but might be not super clear or could be interpreted differently, let's say. Is this something that you get a lot of player feedback on?
I don't really. I'm just starting to get it from some players who've played this plot a lot and who suddenly say, hey, this was different last time. Mm-hmm. Like they said different things. And I think my objective was different too, right? Last time I had to kill this person and this time I don't. No, you didn't. Like it's all the nuances in the dialogue. The objective was always the same. It was in that case to, I think, talk to that person, to confront them. But depending on what the player chose before, the characters would give them different hints and would lead them down a different path. Yeah, most of that is still in my head, I think. Like I see all these possibilities before me, and I'd be happy to have more feedback like that to maybe refine these scenes in the future.
And speaking of feedback, I was wondering, what does good, useful, constructive feedback look like for your work? Like what should players definitely include or add to their emails, messages, whatever it may be, so that you can actually work with it properly?
Good question. So what we mostly get is, of course, bug reports and sometimes things that look like bugs to players when they really aren't. Mm-hmm. What really helps me, first and foremost, are initial emotional responses. Like, this felt right to me. Or when the character said this, I had this emotion. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to put it into words, but when you're immersed in the story and things click and a scene just takes you with it, mm-hmm. you recognize that as a player, I think. And when that happens, I would like to know. And when it doesn't happen, like when it takes you out of it, when the immersion gets destroyed because of some, it might just be something like a voice line playing too quickly or a break being too long. Mm-hmm. These things I would like to know.
Mm. So you might be the right person really to look into content creators, right? Or streamers when they start playing new products.
I do a lot. I watch every Let's Play I can get my hands on. I just want to see their initial reactions.
Well, Leonard, that was a fascinating chat with you. I'm sure we have we'll get questions from our listeners once this episode is out, and then I'm sure to invite you back on maybe in a couple of months.
I'd be glad, yeah.
Let me do my my typical, a little more personal ending phase here about your personal private gaming habits, let's say. So you already said that you were into those pen and paper role-playing games. Is that something that you still do actively, or was that more in the past? Or
no, sure, twice a week.
Oh, wow.
Currently only as a player. I play a game called Scum and Villainy. That is like a sci-fi kind of Star Wars-esque game. Mm-hmm. And then I also play a literal Star Wars game, Force and Destiny. It's more of a coincidence. I'm not a particularly huge Star Wars fan, but it just turned out that way, that like the other players really like it and I'm just swept up in it. I also play video games, of course, even though I work on one all day. Sometimes leaves me a bit burned out. Yeah, second shout out to my sister. I would like to finish It Takes Two with her. Great game. If you like co-op games, I know you're a console player, that should work. You really owe it to yourself. It's such a whimsical, like, fun game.
Yeah, it's definitely on my list. I want to play that with my wife. She already read about it and was like, we should definitely play this. And I played the previous game of this guy or this company, but now I don't, what's the name again? This two dudes who escaped from prison.
Two dudes escape from prison. Oh yeah, I remember the guy with the nose.
You play a co-op, like couch co-op, and you, or online, and you see it. You see both people, yeah, on the screen, and the percentage of the screen shapes differently depending on the scene that you play. Oh. It was really cool.
Yeah, it's a very different experience, certainly.
Yeah.
I knew that you would ask this question, so I prepared something.
That's good.
Games in general that I like. It's hard for me to pinpoint what exactly it is that I appreciate in games. There are so many games that I would call my favorite games. There's a little selection I have made, three games that I want to highlight that kind of have something in common. Mm-hmm. They're also about this mystery thing that I just described. Uncovering a mystery and feeling like there's more to it and just getting the final piece at the very end and then it all makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. First of those games that I love for it is Heaven's Vault. You know that one?
Can't say I do.
It's a game, as you might have guessed, about language and history and archaeology. You're, mm-hmm, basically this pre-industrial people living on rocks in the sky, and you're trying to piece together their history and also to learn their language. And there's a lot of nuance to that language. And it will take you a very long time to realize what's actually going on. And that moment is great. It's also Return of the Obra Dinn.
I really love that, yeah.
That is like a detective thing. I just love the approach they take with all you can only investigate like in a, like 3D still images, and you have to really pay attention to what's going on in the background and connect the dots. It's amazing. And the third one, maybe a little more known, is Outer Wilds, where you're in a wooden spaceship and the entire solar system is one gigantic puzzle that works together, and you're also uncovering an ancient mystery and trying to find out what happened in the past.
Well, I not only know two out of the three of your list, I absolutely love two out of the three of your list.
So maybe you love the third too.
I probably will. I should definitely check it out. Yeah, I mean, Outer Wilds was, I was blown away by Outer Wilds. It was definitely one of my favorite games of that year. Yeah, that was, I mean, if anybody has not played that one and is into story-driven games, then they should definitely check it out.
Is it story-driven, though?
I would say it's story-driven.
It's more like you're basically piecing together a story that has already happened.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Okay, you're not happy about the driven part in story-driven?
I am kind of. I like that you're calling it story-driven, because the player inserts themselves in that world, uh-huh, but their goal is to uncover the mystery, both as a character and as a player.
Right.
And sure, they're kind of experiencing a story, but the biggest part of the story has already happened or happens to other people. And it still feels like you're part of that world and like you have really done something and uncovered something. And by uncovering it, you're part of the story. Maybe that's a lesson for future X4 plots too. Because we always have that problem, right? The player can do whatever they want.
Mm,
sure, we give them a game start, we give them a name and a kind of a backstory, but from the point they start the game, they're just free to do what they want. And yeah, maybe through more mysteries and more other characters who are just voicing their own goals that the player can basically tag along with, maybe we can create a stronger immersion there.
I love how we made that perfect circle. Yeah, that's brilliant.
not that we're not already doing some of those things, right. But yeah, I like the parallel you drew there.
Well, you're welcome.
Or did I do that?
It was fully intentional, of course.
Yeah.
Leonard, thanks so much for joining me. It was a blast to talk to you and hear about your work.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to next time. And I'm looking forward to who you're going to bring on the show next.
Yeah, me too. It's always a little, it's always a bit of a surprise. I'm not planning that far ahead, but we'll see. First, I'm off for vacation, finally, after a long while. And then we'll see who's on next.
Well, you've earned it.
Thank you very much.
See you next time.
Bye-bye. Well, wasn't that some fascinating stuff? I hope you liked it as much as I did, and I'd love to read your feedback in the comments. Would you like to hear more content similar to this episode, where we just chat about the different individual parts of the big X4 development package, so to say? Maybe you have a specific perspective or role you'd like to hear more about? Feel free to share your wishes and suggestions, and I promise that I'll read through them and see what I can make happen. In the meantime, let me thank you for tuning into episode 5 of the Inside EgoSoft podcast and for not getting too loud about the big gap we had between episodes 4 and 5. This can happen every now and then with my priorities moving around a bit here and there, but I definitely plan to keep the podcast alive, so you should definitely subscribe to the podcast in your favorite podcast catcher app so that you're notified whenever a new episode is available. That was a good transition, wasn't it? Okay, enjoy beta 7 and maybe even the full version of 4.10 already, just in case there won't be a new episode out before that goes public. Have fun in space and talk to you soon. This is Greg signing off.